Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the work session this November 26, 2024, on a Tuesday at 7 a.m. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Ms. Tidwell.
Here.
Mr. Marnie.
I'm here.
Mr. Ringstad.
Here.
Mr. Cleworth.
Here.
Ms. Therian.
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Here.
Mayor Pruse.
Here. Okay, our first item on the agenda is the Resolution 5146, a resolution authorizing the City of Fairbanks to participate in the Fiscal Year 2024 Community Development Block Program. We talked about this yesterday somewhat, and what we're wanting to do is go after funds that we can, and more street seniors. That's what we're looking at, and other things. Any discussion? Okay, let's go to item number three on our agenda, Resolution 5147, a resolution to form a cooperative agreement between the City of Fairbanks and Moore Street Seniors to participate in the Community Block Grant Development Program. Not introduced by me. Second portion of it here. That's our resolution. Any questions? Ms. Sprinkle?
Not a question, I'd like to amend it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk, would you please do it? And these are available for any and all people to, if you want to be included in this. Mr. Marnie, Mr. Cleworth, Ms. Therian, Mr. Ringstead, Ms. Tidwell, are you going to make it the even half dozen?
She's not a senior.
Okay. Item number four on our agenda is a resolution number 5148, a resolution amending the city schedule of fees and charges for services by eliminating the charge for telephonic payments. And this is introduced by me. And, you know, once in a while, you just listen to the clerk. And she said, Mayor Pruse, would you please do this? And I said, do what? And she says, we have a telephonic phone charge, and it's just not fair. I said, you got it. I'll do it. So on the back, we have a fiscal note, $1,890 approximate. But what it does is it stops the fight when someone calls up and says, you're charging me for this phone call at the City of Fairbanks. It stops that fight with Diana downstairs. It stops the fight, the ill will. And it's something we can do. It's a good investment. Believe me, it's a good investment. Any questions? Mr. Marnie?
Well, I don't have a question, but I was thinking about this, that, you know, after the budget time, maybe we should look at schedule of fees every year.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to sit with Captain Warner yesterday and Mike Moore for a bit, and they've got some wonderful ideas on fees that I'd never thought of. And I think they want to talk to you personally to kind of sell it to you. But I think it's a good idea to look at those every year.
We'll do that in February. I'm gone the first half of January, so we'll do that in February. We'll put it on our tickler list. Any other questions or thoughts? Okay, let's go to item number five. Resolution 5149, a resolution authorizing the City of Fairbanks to accept funds from the Alaska Division of Homeland Security, fiscal year 2024. And this is for $59,000 to purchase mobile radios for multi-casualty incident triage for Fairbanks Fire Department. The fiscal note to us is zero. Ms. Sprinkle.
Sorry, we're asking for money. Okay, the AMR police radios, we were going to ask for those in our legislative list. Would this help us with some of that, or is that a different type of radio?
Chief Carl, could you answer that? And good morning, Ms. Stiver. We'll bring you back up and redo a few things for Moore Street we're doing.
Good morning, Council. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So trying to stay ahead of that AMLR requirement that you heard about yesterday and a couple of meetings ago, We put in for this Homeland Security grant. We asked for much more, but we did get about $53,000 for mobile radio. So yes, that will take a chunk of those radios off of the table for future needs. So we'll make sure we buy compliant radios with this grant.
How many total do you need? How much dollar-wise?
Just for fire, we're probably looking at almost probably $200,000 of radios to switch out the entire system. That's a really off-the-cuff guess because radio prices change on the regular, and I have no idea how many radios Chief Dupuy would need to get his fleet compliant.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Really appreciate it. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Ms. Stiver, why don't you come back up to the podium since you're here? We start on time at this facility. Your past experience.
Sorry, my hair was a little more difficult, Mayor, this morning.
I don't have difficult hair mornings. Okay, item number two is a resolution 5146. Vivian, we're authorizing the City of Fairbanks to participate in the fiscal year 2024 community block CDBG program. Then resolution number 5147 is a resolution to form a corporation between the City of Fairbanks and the Moore Street Seniors, Inc. to participate in the community development block program. Your thoughts?
I think it's a great idea, and as you know, it serves more than just the seniors that reside in our facility. It's also a shared parking lot with the Senior Center, which sees a lot of traffic, a lot of people going in and out, so it'll be a benefit to both of those properties.
Well, what we will do is we'll put together with Mr. Sanders. He's very good at this. He'll put together our participation agreement. Mm-hmm. Then I serve with Commissioner Julie Sandy on the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation Board of Directors, and I've met with her in regards to our issues with the Community Development Block Program. Mm-hmm. So what I'll do is I'll fly down at a meeting. I'll fly down to Anchorage for a in-person meeting mm-hmm. with Alaska Housing, like you used to be on that board. And then I'll meet with Julie Sandy and present our request to her personally, and maybe it'll go a little bit better for our future for you.
Excellent. That would be just awesome. Yeah.
Mr. Ringstead.
So on the fiscal note, there's a statement here about the land value providing the match. You're not having to finance that, are you? That's just, they're just taking
the
collateral is there.
Yes, the land is the collateral. We have $1,000 match.
You're adding that to the, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So we would put up the $1,000, which really helps us a lot with the other upgrades we need to make to have that other cash.
You know, Ms. Sprinkle.
I was going to throw in that we put you on the legislative want list yesterday, just so you know.
Oh, good. Did you make us like a priority, like number one? I know. Thanks. Don't ask for everything. I see your face, Mayor. I got it.
You know, this is interesting. I'm a real estate broker, so I believe in really taking care of real estate, and I thank you for doing what you do. And then I look at, okay, this is for seniors. And God, this year I become a senior. And my hope is for everyone gets to be a senior. Then I look at Chief Dupuy and I say to myself, man, he's going to be a cantankerous senior when he's a senior. But he's going to be a good senior. Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Stiver.
Thank you.
We'll work hard on this for you. Okay. Item number six on our agenda is Ordinance 6296, an ordinance amending the Fairbanks General Code Section 2-118.1 to add additional council member to the Council Finance Committee. Advanced. This is this is Sue's ordinance. It's a Sue's ordinance. Any discussion on it? You're very welcome. Okay. We'll go to item seven, ordinance 6297, ordinance adopting the 2025 operating capital budgets advanced to December 2nd. So, any discussion on that? Mr. Cleworth.
Margarita, just as a favor to me, If we could have a list of the changes that we made for Monday night or to put in the packet, that would be nice. Thank you.
Yes, I can do that.
Could you go through the highlights on this, Margarita, for everyone?
Yes. You should have a proposed substitute. Okay. On the proposed substitute, it accepted the changes that were made at the wrap-up on November the 15th. And that was a $2,500 increase to council travel. It was a $50,000 increase. Oh, let me start back over. Under the clerk's office is a $2,500 increase to council travel. Under the communication center, it was a $20,000 increase to outside contracts. Under the fire department was a $50,000 increase to operating supplies. Under public works, it was a $15,000 increase to building and grounds, and a $2,500 decrease to other rentals. I'm showing there were three items that were still for discussion. The first under the general count was an increase to abatements. This under public works was an increase to wages and benefits for a full-time permanent laborer and a decrease to wages and benefits for temporary workers. Those were the three items that were on the table, so to speak, from the wrap-up meeting. And you did not under police department fund the equipment manager or / administration assistant.
Jerry, you weren't at the wrap-up meeting, so I did not want anything passing without your review and inclusion. Mr. Ringstead.
Talk a little bit of now for the revenue. Some of these I thought were coming down a little bit from last year, trying to pin down now that we're late in the year what our permanent fund dollars look like, our bed tax dollars, and I thought you'd said that the other total taxes was coming down a little bit.
No, we reduced the tobacco tax down. And when you reduce the tobacco tax, it increases the property tax because it's under that cap. So it shifted from tobacco into property taxes. The bed tax, we did increase that for this budget to $5 million. On the current year, yes, that did go up. So we moved that one to 4.9. It's the tobacco that for the current year was not. In 2024, it may exceed it, but it looks like it's on target for 4.9.
So five, we're pretty close to the same numbers, what you're
right,
putting
correct.
In. Okay. How's our permanent fund earnings
looking? Our permanent fund earnings are looking at the last quarter. This. Your report to date is based on September 30, and October did increase slightly from September, the permanent fund. So I could look at this number and readjust it, but I don't think it would be that much of a difference because of the five-year market average.
Can you take a look just so we know? I mean, that's kind of a big ticket.
Yep.
Revenue
yes.
for us.
Yes, yeah, so I can Thank check you. On the impact of that okay. versus October 31st versus September 30th.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ms. Therrien.
Margarita, could you give us a number of what savings we're going to have in 24 from unfilled positions?
Right now, we're looking at $3 million, but there are multiple things that have to happen in December. First of all, we have to pay off all employees, and I didn't think of this on Monday night. We have to pay any comp earned
With hourly employee above 80 hours, that has to be paid out. We have to pay out any annual leave that is above the minimum level, as well as any, and I mentioned the ESIP program, which is the employee incentive program, has to be paid out. But to date, if I'm looking at it, is $3 million. Where we end up at the end of the year is really I can estimate it, but it's really hard to say. You have three holidays that are also hitting, and those can be expensive depending on how many employees. So I would think that we might have a surplus of at least $2 million, I would state.
In this budget?
No, it is not.
Okay.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Please remind me, I thought we agreed to, and it looks like we have, the equipment manager or administrative assistant.
That was removed during our discussion on November the 15th, the wrap-up.
It was removed?
Yes.
It
was not a consensus to add.
Can we talk about that again? Because what was the reasoning that we took it out? I don't remember that at all.
It was never brought in. The mayor removed it, and based on your discussion on wrap-up, you did not add that position. In fact, you all did not decide as a consensus, as a group, to add it.
So we need to add it later.
You can if you want. It has not been added yet.
That was in police department.
This is for the evidence. I don't either.
I thought we were
going to
do it.
Well, first of all, we've had 9 mornings of conversation. But that's why we have a couple wrap-ups and 2 readings. So,
because it says on my paperwork, as of November 14th, expenditures add the $90,950 increase to wages and benefits for, and I was confused as to what we're calling the position, not so much that we didn't even
know. No, on the 14th, that was for discussion on wrap-up. On November the 15th, when you had the wrap-up, that was an item when the mayor went around, you did not have the consensus of the group, the majority, to proceed with that position.
Is that something we remember?
I remember it. I asked each one of you, except for Jerry.
And I spoke for Mr. Cleworth, and he said no for that.
But this is what I want you to do. I want you to think about it.
Yeah.
And that's why we have a second reading, and if you have a consensus to insert it, you can do that. You're the council. It's your budget.
Okay, so this is very important then for the list that I think Jerry asked for. We now know what we're adding, because at this point I thought we had, which is kind of scary.
No, and the only thing that you had not added was the full-time permanent laborer at the meeting. Even though there was, I think, consensus to add the full-time laborer, the mayor proposed that we wait until Mr. Cleworth had an opportunity to discuss it, because it was not on the list for November the 14th, as well as abatement.
So I guess I'm confused. Should we be talking about it now? Or waiting for the second reading?
I would wait till your budget, because that's when you're going to debate it.
Okay.
Just wait till the budget.
Okay.
And we'll make a note to bring it up.
Okay. Very good.
Yes, Mr. Marney.
What was that dollar figure on that admin?
On the position was $90,950. And that was salary, wages, and benefits.
As far as I recall,
no, the discussion, if I recall correctly, was that he mentioned an equipment manager. We stated that that was not a position that was on their schedule, and that was why it said or administrative assistant. We also discussed maybe a clerk position that would serve as that function. But when we went around the room, there was not a consensus of the majority to add it at the time. And it was $90,950.
Okay. Well, again, that's such a different memory I have. Okay. Thank you.
We had a lot of 7 a.m. meetings.
Yeah, but that's a big one. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for Margarita? Mr. Ringstaff.
Yes, I will give you an update. I will give you an update of every, what you have on the ordinance before you that's proposed. If you go to page three. Oh, I'm sorry, page two. Mm-hmm. And I'll show, we'll do page three afterwards. On page two, if you go down to the increase, the decrease, the fund balance, you're at 1.8 million. And that's where you are to date with the changes.
Well, what we need then is to have a list that's saying, okay, here's the other items. And we know we're going to, on Monday, do a PSEA contract.
A final wrap-up, basically a final wrap-up.
Let's get all the numbers on one piece of paper.
Yeah, that's right. Because I got five.
So then you start saying, okay, they got five more. Pretty soon that 1.8 is going to be zero.
Right.
Right. Very true.
So the big ticket item, we know right off the top is $1.2 million. So that puts us at 600, right?
Yeah, but we get 2 million in.
You don't get the budget. You don't get the budget that.
No, that's one.
That is not
money.
A budget. Mr. Clearworth.
Yeah, Valerie's talking about the $2 million. You can't budget a surplus. Surpluses come and go. The blessing we have with the surplus is that's the only source of funding we have for capital. And that's why we move it now and then so we can buy the equipment for the employees they use. If you spend that, if you count that as a budget item, and I don't know how you would do that using generally accepted accounting principles, then you've just spent your seed corn.
Your seed? What? Your seed corn?
Your seed corn for your equipment.
I love you, Jerry.
Absolutely
okay,
right.
I'm with you. Okay.
Anyway. Good conversations, good knowledge. Any other questions on Ordinance 6297 as amended? Okay. Let's go to Ordinance 6298, an ordinance amending the Fairbanks General Code, Chapter 2, Section 655, multi-year contracts, clarifying requirements for amendments to multi-year contracts. This is introduced by Mr. Clearworth. Any further discussion? Seeing none, go to item number 9 on our agenda. Ordinance 6299, an ordinance ratifying the collective bargaining agreement between the City of Fairbanks and the Public Safety Employees Association, advanced to December 2nd. Is there any discussion on this 80-page document? Mr. Marney.
Well, I know there's a typo back here. Do we need to talk about typos?
No, my thought would be the wordsmithing, show that to the chief of staff or the attorney, and we'll correct any typos.
Page 67, section 20.1.2, there's a dollar figure there that's not correct.
But I must compliment you for your thorough review.
Thank you, Lonnie.
And hopefully this wasn't a sleep deprivation device to get you to sleep.
Nothing gets me to sleep.
Any other discussions on Ordinance 6299 or things that should be reviewed prior to second reading? Ms. Therian.
Well, I guess I wanted to know in the budget, and I should have asked this before we moved on, do we have a cost for the arbitration that needs to get put into the proposed budget for 2025 for the firefighters?
That's $2,500 per day, I believe, and that can come out of contingency funds. It's risk. It's risk.
It comes out of risk.
Yeah, the arbitration costs come out of risk, and that's comes directly out of the property tax kind of situation.
Reimbursement.
But do we have an estimate so we know what the risk fund's going to change?
No, because we haven't gone there yet. It's a couple stages down the road. If when we select an arbitrator, we'll know the cost at that point. Per day, and then we'll be able to estimate how long it'll take to do that work.
Well, the budget includes what risk is going to be. I'd like to at least get some type of an estimate before we pass the budget.
So the risk fund, and Margarita can help me on this, but the risk fund is outside of what you guys budget for. Certainly, it's an important number to know because it affects property taxes, but it's not something that the council budgets for.
We all would. Any other questions? Seeing none, let's go to item number 10, ordinance 6300, an ordinance establishing supplemental retirement permanent life insurance plan for the city attorney, the deputy attorney, to enhance recruitment and retention, introduced by myself. We formatted this with what we do with the police, and it will be under the same system. Any discussion? Does anyone want to join in a sponsor? Okay, we have Ms. Ringstead, Mr. Marnie, Ms. Therrien, Ms. Tidwell, Ms. Sprinkle. Oh.
I like this in theory. I do. I really like this in theory. I'm just worried about the fact that we're using it, I think, for the right reasons. But we funded it for the police through
for salary people. Savings.
Yeah, thank you so much. I don't know. Are we seeing that here only because we don't have right now the deputy?
Well, let's see. We haven't had a deputy, say, in 6 months. So we just funded the next 4 years.
Okay. I just want to make sure that...
If you want to look at it that way.
I have to. Yeah, but thank you.
Which is fine.
Thank you. And please put, and add my name, please.
Yep.
Thank you.
I'll probably be the odd duck on this one. I'm not in favor of this, but if there is more dollars needed to hire a person, then you pay more dollars to hire the person. But to establish this plan... I don't know, if I were an employee in the other part of the city, I'd go, well, how come certain people get this and others don't? And that's a very human reaction, I guess, but when you start to do this for one department, why are you not doing it for other departments? How does this gentleman here not get it, and this one here not get it? Mm-hmm. Why are we doing that? This plan was unique to the police department because it came at a salary savings. We cut positions in order to fund it. We're not doing that here. If it's not enough to attract a deputy attorney, then you raise the salary. But you don't enter into another program like this that I think should be shared by everybody if you're gonna be doing it. So that's my problem. There's a fairness issue here that bothers me. The gentleman's worth it, and I hope you don't take offense to that, but if you think he's worth it, then raise the salary or something if you think that, you know, the comparisons demand that we do so.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, we'll go on to item number 11, ordinance number 6013, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code section 50-05, adding Martin Luther King Day as a observed city holiday. And Ms. Therrien, you want to bring us through this?
Yes, I think we're the only major city in Alaska that doesn't have this holiday, and I think it's important for our community that we recognize this, and I've been asked by many people to introduce this.
Mr. Marnie.
Well, the point that we're excluding the fire department worries me, with our relationship already strained. Puts it to the point where, can we afford it? I would prefer to say, if you want to name that as a holiday, let's get rid of one of the other ones.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Okay, to that point, I'm looking at our fiscal note. It says to me, I think, that I'm going to have to pay $128,000 to have this holiday for the fire department. Is that right? Is that what you're reading?
The fire department already observes this holiday. If you notes on page 1, there's a personal holiday, there's Mark 2. I don't know exactly what year, but during one negotiation year, they gave up one personal holiday to observe this holiday. So they are the only department that observes it as a holiday, or I should say union. And that is because they gave up one personal holiday to observe it. So that is why it's not omitting them, but they already observe it under their union contract.
Mr. Ringstead.
I look at this kind of from different perspectives, and you know, we're being told that most of our folks are overworked, and that, you know, that's unfortunate. We're trying to deal with that. But, okay, taking a day off, the work doesn't go away. Now they get more work to do, and the day they come back. We go through and we negotiate these union contracts. We're trying to complete two of them right now. We've got one more coming shortly. Why is this discussion not in that? I don't see where they've been asking for it. I think it's the police contract that says they want personal days. They don't, because their schedules are so different. Naming the days, I don't think we need another day off.
Mr. Clayworth.
Well, the reality is the firemen, the policemen, dispatch still have to work, so you're not giving them a day off to celebrate it, but you do have to pay overtime now. This has always been a subject in the labor negotiations. If you want this holiday, then either give up a personal day or we get rid of another holiday. In President's Day, I don't even really get that one anymore, in all honesty. But, that's up to negotiations between the unions and the city as to what they want to do there and which holidays they want to recognize.
We have had this discussion multiple times in the past. What it always comes down to is taking the two personal holidays and designating one as Martin Luther King Day and keeping the other one. And only one union has said, yes, we will do that, and that's the fire department. The other ones, they like their personal days. So if you want to have another holiday, you can do that. Paid holiday. There's a financial cost. But we've offered this multiple times since I've been on the council. Ms. Sprinkle?
So I don't know who just brought up President's Day. Jerry, maybe you did. And I don't know the machinations in choosing a holiday, but what if... Is President's Day a thing that people celebrate? Do we just call it Martin Luther King Day and call it good? Is it one day to another? I guess I'm just asking the question out loud. I mean, besides going to a mattress sale, I don't know what President's Day is.
I want to listen to the city attorney real fast.
It's just one's on the third Monday of January. Martin Luther King's birthday is observed. And then the third January, or the third Monday in February, is President's Day. That's how they're distinguished.
Okay.
Mr. Clayworth.
I think the former mayor at times on Martin Luther King Day would give the staff at the city the day off if they wanted to go. And it was not a paid holiday, it was a paid day, a regular paid day. And they sent them, people could stay home and honor it if they want to, which I thought was kind of a win-win situation. But the only people open are us retailers who are expected to be open, so all those who have a holiday can come shop. And we don't get those holidays unless we take them and lose business on the thing. And I just find that a bit ironic.
Ms. Bell.
They expect us to be open.
Ms. Bell.
I just wanted to mention that the holidays are indicated in the CBAs, each CBA. The city, the way majority of the CBAs are written is that they will have whatever holiday is listed, and they are subject to any additional holiday that the city offers. So if you decide to remove the third Monday in February and have the third Monday in January, it only affects the Fairbanks General Code staff because each contract dictates what's a holiday for that union. I just wanted to call that to your attention.
Ms. Therrien.
Is it possible we could keep this and reduce the personal holidays to one and not have...
You would have to do it through the collective bargaining agreement.
All right, so right now we'd have to change the collective bargaining.
Correct, for each union.
Okay. Mr. Marnie.
Well, let me, have we talked to our employees which way they feel on this?
Well, I can mention... and I'll defer to
Mr. Mayor. Jump in here, why don't you?
But I know that the reason why the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday is in one union agreement versus the other two was because the firefighters were negotiated first when the city requested they change a personal holiday to Martin Luther King Day. They were the only union that agreed. IBEW did not agree to it, nor did AFL-CIO. So that is why you have one union that supported it and versus the other. And then I'll defer to Mr. Merritt about employee.
So this is the most frequently asked about holiday with new hires that are surprised that the city doesn't observe this as a holiday day. The city does allow currently for employees to volunteer somewhere instead of come to work and they still get paid for their day. And so, yes, you're giving people the day off if you choose to acknowledge this as a holiday instead of them going and volunteering somewhere. But realistically, you were already paying employees that wanted to go and do something that day to go and do that thing. And so
it's a personal choice.
But this is one of the two holidays that is most frequently brought up with me that new employees are surprised we don't observe.
Any other discussion?
From my department, why they don't want to do that switch is because the end of February is a short pay period, and so having the holiday in there boosts that pay period up. If you take away that holiday, then you're left with a short pay period versus the end of January, end of February. So that's why they prefer the President's Day over Martin Luther King.
Okay, that's good to know. Thanks.
So what about the Benjamins?
That's right.
Wow.
Nicely done. Well done. I saw that.
I got to remember that one.
I saw you do that.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, we'll go on to the parking garage financial report that was requested. Margarita, you want to bring us through this, please?
Okay. I believe it was Ms. Sprinkle that requested the details of the Labrie Transportation Center. And the way the contract works is the city contracts with the Fairbanks Parking Authority. They are housed in the parking garage, and they manage the parking garage. And what you're looking at is more of a cash flow statement, profit and loss report, and is showing how much the city received in cash in relationship to what we pay. We pay by expense. The only portion that is kind of appropriated out is FPA personnel cost. We pay a percentage of the director's salary. We pay a percentage of those who work within the garage. And we do base that payment. It is made based on their estimate, their budget for the year. And then we pay them once a month. We kind of break that out by monthly payments. And we don't usually make that December payment until we get the final report and we review it. We spend more time on the revenue side to make sure revenues have been accounted for. And we do not pay it in that final December unless we need to. And in the last two or three years, we have not made that third payment. Any payments that we've made that have exceeded the expenses are reimbursed to the city. So it's actually a kind of more like a reimbursement plan.
Margarita, is it possible to break out under operating revenue parking garage income versus ticket income?
This does not include ticket income.
Okay.
That is all parking garage income. They are a separate organization. They have their own board of directors, even though we do have a member of the city that serves. We had two, the public works director and a city engineer, and at the time served on their board, but they are their own 501 organization. Their role is to manage it. Our role as far as the city is to ensure that we have the revenues that we should have, and to make sure that our expenditures that we pay, whatever expenditures that are associated with the garage itself.
Ms. Rengstead,
and those revenues are all parking garage revenues for parking in the garage.
Ms. Rengstead, then Ms.
So, this is kind of new. I haven't paid attention to this before. So the revenue comes in. We pay the expenses, or they pay the expense, and then we just cut them a check every month or whatever.
They paid the expenses.
Okay. So with the revenue, do they set the fees? Do we set the fees? How does that work?
Their board sets the fees. And they, even though they're collecting, it is going into a City of Fairbanks bank account.
Oh, it is. Okay. So we hold the money. Well, guess we hold the money. And then we, if there's any shortfall, we come up with that.
Yes.
And if there's any surplus, we get that.
Correct.
So then the only thing that it realistically shows in our budget is revenue coming in, revenue going out.
Revenue coming in and the expenses going out.
And that shows in our general account
budget? It shows in the parking garage fund. There is a special fund for the parking garage. The only piece,
but where does it show when we do the budget?
It does not show.
But if we're spending city money, shouldn't we be making that decision?
It doesn't show, but
I mean,
we
it should.
Can.
If we're going to do the budget for the city, we should do the whole budget for the city.
We can do the budget for it and create another chart that shows parking garage, and we can budget that amount each year.
It seems to me that it's, I mean, it apparently last year was a minimal amount, but we had to come up with $2,500. You know, if we're the city's paying it, isn't that our job? Make the budget decisions?
You and bring up good points, Mr. Rengstead. Ms. Sprinkle, then Mr. Cleveland.
So, because we're reliant on the contract
you speak of, I mean, the swings of these numbers across the way here really, it seemed incredible. So I don't know. I know that there was a new, I don't want to say management. I know Jeff Jacobson took office. What was it, 2023, 2024? I can't remember now.
I believe it was in 2022. Or maybe 21.
Okay. It's just so different. I wondered if personnel made a difference to this.
Oh, yes. Personnel did make a difference.
But because, to John's point, we really don't know what's happening until after the fact. I'm also concerned about the tickets being decided by a board. I mean, we have no say in the fees?
The tickets are not under the City of Fairbanks. That is under that organization. But the parking garage and the fees for the parking garage itself is under the city. Some of the biggest piece of that parking garage is the contract with the state of Alaska, which has been decided what that amount would be for years,
wait,
for multiple years.
For the parking
garage.
Amounts?
Garage.
The state
for the
makes
space.
That decision?
No, the agreement with the state for parking in that garage was made multiple years ago, over 10 years ago. Yeah, they do.
But
the space is within it, and that contract was created years ago with the amount.
And that never gets reviewed?
The last time that we reviewed it, they wanted to reduce the number of spaces, and we kind of said, no, we don't want to reduce the number of spaces because that meant a loss in revenue. So we're comfortable with that contract as it stands.
Mr. Clearworth.
This is set up originally as an enterprise fund under accounting. The Bureau uses these for various parts of their budgets as well. Whether we keep it as an enterprise fund or put it in the general fund doesn't make much difference one way or another, as long as you get the accounting from it from time to time. The system works. They're, the two gentlemen that write tickets also do the day-to-day maintenance of the garage. They're the ones that swab down the stairs and everything else. They do all the cleanup and janitorial work, which frees public works, so they don't have to do it. Where public works gets involved is only on the major maintenance items that are there. Now, Bob, you're still on the board, is that right?
Yes,
Jeremiah, are you on it now, too? Bob didn't ask you to be on it.
Consider yourself lucky.
But it works well for a building that we really didn't want to own in the first place. But it was built, funded by bonds, and for a while there, and I'd have to get back into the archives, it was technically owned by the Downtown Association. Mm-hmm. But when the bonds were paid off and all that, the city got involved. They couldn't carry the weight of that anymore, because where the real expense comes is if you have damage to the building and things like that, then your day-to-day revenues will not cover it. The whole idea with that board was to cover your day-to-day operations and at least break even by the end of the year, and you can see here that they are doing that all in all. And you keep the revenues up the snuff to cover that. We've always bought spots in the garage, and it's becoming more and more full all the time. Pogo uses it also to drop off their people, and they keep their cars there for a couple weeks at a time. And I think you're seeing more and more of that, so it's starting to grow. The sad part about it is it was built at a time when the Polaris was there. So the concept behind it was, well, Northward, Polaris, University of Alaska, which was on 2nd Avenue in the Chena building, were all going to be major users. As soon as the thing was built, the Polaris went out of commission, University moved to 7th and Barnett over there. Went, oh, this is great. So it's kind of like the perfect storm, but so I'm amazed that they've, you know, built up that user use to get it back up to where it covers the expenses.
Weren't you on that board too, Jerry?
Off and on over the years, yeah. It was... Yeah.
Ms. Sprinkle in the strings, Dan.
The fact that people get so irritated that we write tickets for expired tags and whatnot has nothing to do with parking. I know that just looks... They shouldn't have expired tags. I just know that really is an irksome thing. People hate it. People hate coming downtown. So, and I'm not going to stop any of that. I just think that because we don't have a chance to talk about the fees or what they're fining...
That is a separate organization. It is not under control of the council. The council has given them the authority to do that type of work. But as far as the city, that's a separate organization. The city's...
But the city has...
We own the parking garage.
I know, but we contract this to this entity, right?
Yes, manage the parking garage.
I'm just throwing that out, that people... are yelling at the city. They yell at the Downtown Association. Oh, why are you doing this thing? And the city, who have the property, and apparently city council, is not allowed to say anything about what they're doing. I find that frustrating.
If you get a parking ticket, you can come see Bob. He's really nice, forgiving. Appeal to Bob, the engineer.
Can Bob talk about it?
Yes, he can. Bob. Tell us about the parking authority and all the tickets you guys
get. All its joy.
Well, it's like Margarita's been trying to explain, the parking garage and on-street operations are two different things. On-street operations is the group that writes the tickets for downtown. They patrol, they enforce the signage that's down there, the loading zones. When people feel like parking in a loading zone because they just don't want to walk, then they get a ticket. you know, if they don't park where they're supposed to. And remember, the on-street operations are hired by private businesses to patrol their private parking lots, right? And this is something the private business has asked them to do because people violate their space all the time. So it's not just everybody is upset about parking downtown. There's more to it than that, I believe.
Mr. Ringstead.
So I guess I'm kind of all over the map on this one. We have a contract with this organization to do that. When does that contract expire, and who renegotiates that contract?
I don't have a good answer to that, but I imagine it was done by some kind of ordinance or resolution.
Mr. Clayworth, can you give a substance to this?
I forget when it expires. It was a 10-year contract or 15 or something like that.
Oh, it's
and
long.
It's coming up for expiration. Then you go out to RFP. Mm-hmm. Anyone can bid on it, but nobody ever does.
Well, yeah.
Nobody wants to do that job.
But if every 15 years, you know, we talk about it in between.
Sue, to answer your questions, the fees that are charged are set by us, the city council, not by them. So whatever that fee schedule is, you could come in tomorrow with an ordinance and change it, make them higher, lower, or do whatever you want.
Obviously, we will include that in our February fee structure that Mr. Marty wants.
But the Downtown Association has come several times on just that one issue that you bring up, expired plates. Many years ago, the police department asked us to enforce expired plates, and that has become a part of the function we have done. David has come down here multiple times trying to fight that for your organization, but the council has said no, they're going to back up the enforcement of expired plates, and that's the rub, that one item. I mean, the council can finally say, well, no, we're not going to authorize that. I guess you could take that away. But then what you do is you've just taken away a major revenue source for the organization, and they probably would be in a position, I forget the percentage, Bob, but it's significant.
Yeah,
where I'm not sure you would have anyone wanting to do enforcement anymore, and then it would revert to the police department.
How often do you forgive those?
You know, have a matrix.
There's a pretty delicate balance here that's working.
Yeah.
The on-street parking and the parking garage, we're not trying to discourage people from parking downtown, but maybe park in the garage on occasion. A lot of times parking out in the street is done by the business owners instead of their customers.
Exactly.
So that's their choice. I mean, we have business owners that get tickets on a regular basis, and they pay them because essentially they're paying to park in the street with a ticket. Mm-hmm. So it's people's choice.
Ms. Therian.
I know my daughter got a expired tag. She went and got the tags that day, and they waived it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's always that possibility.
Mr. Ringstead and Mr. Marnie.
The bigger picture of this is a city asset under city control. And I would ask that we actually put this somewhere in the budget so it comes before the council every year. And, you know, at least somebody thinks about it once in a while, as opposed to every 10 or 15 years or whenever this thing comes up. As a city asset, when we have a major problem, you know, like a roof leaks, who's going to pay the bill, right? If they have a significant repairs that need to be done, we're going to pay for it. This contract is clearly not going to pay. There's no money here, right? So it becomes our liability. And like Jerry has told us several times, we need to be putting money aside every year so when the big bill comes due, you got the money to pay it. And I don't know that building's... I don't know what kind of shape it's in, but, you know, as buildings get to be 25 or 50 years old, you got to do maintenance. I think it would behoove us to think about that. And I think from my perspective, from the city perspective, we're responsible for kind of everything the city does. And we should at least look at it and understand it, know it's there, even if we think, yeah, they're doing a great job, let them keep doing it. But it's our responsibility to look at all of these, and they should all be in the budget.
Mr. Marnie.
So this question is not for you, Bob, but maybe Jeremiah. We started that new Sunday night, no parking on the street thing, I think, last weekend.
Actually, it went into effect this Sunday.
This coming. So how did that work? Did we tow a bunch of vehicles?
No, we were already, we'd already posted it for plowing, so it didn't really, that sign's already.
So pretty smooth.
Yeah, it went smooth.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I guess to John's point, do we worry about capital funds for this this entity? Do we have a little set aside of any sort?
If you noted in your budget, and I think that's what caused the discussion, under the capital section, I have a little note, parking garage, $250,000. So we do kind of, that was kind of my way of letting us know that there's some capital that will be needed for that facility. And I can add another fund to your ordinance under the proposed substitute that covers the parking garage. Just a couple of things. In an accounting world, it's considered an enterprise fund. So we do have to separate it from your general fund and your capital fund, and that's being in line with our accounting standards. So we would add another chart very similar to what you see there. You see your general fund, you see your capital fund. I can add a parking garage fund, or FTC fund is what we called it. And we can add that to this budget under the proposed substitute. And that you can see on Wednesday, on Monday night. So I will do that. I also wanted to let you know that that contract with Fairbanks Parking Authority was signed in 2001. It is a 25-year contract.
That's crazy.
It's a 25-year contract, which means it expires in 2026. So it will be an item that will be up for bid in 2026.
Wow.
You guys want to bid on it, Sue?
I just can't. I'm just catching my breath is all, Jerry. That's all.
It's going to be interesting if they bid on it, what they're going to want to use as parking tickets for revenue.
Wow. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions on this?
No, I appreciate the update. Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, so, Marguerite, I found your page where it says capital budget parking garage upgrades, but we have zero, right?
Correct. Under the capital fund.
Mm-hmm. What is the $250,000 right behind the name say there mean? Why is that there? Page 109.
He is on page 109 of the capital fund.
Got it.
And we have nothing in the fund balance for them.
Correct.
We're putting nothing in there.
Because it would come out of the parking garage fund.
What does the 250 mean?
Which you do not see, but you will see on Monday night.
What does the $250,000 here mean?
The Public Works would like to do some... And I can, Jeremiah can probably speak to it better than I can.
Is this the signage? Signage stuff?
The first thing that they would like to do is to install a turnstile exit door in the southeast stairwell exit. And they also wanted to do heating panels and ceiling fan replacement.
So this is their request?
Yes.
But this is not the department request. Proposal.
Right, correct.
So is that management asking for that, or is that Public Works going in to say, let's do this? I guess I'm not sure how decisions are made on that.
It's a combination of two. It is usually, and I should probably let Mr. Pristas speak to it, they identify problems. It's our facility, and the way the lease is with them, anything that's major or any changes, they have to notify the city. Before anything is done, and then Public Works will take a review, or the city engineer will take a review and make a decision whether or not that work should be done. It's the same rules with any other lease that we have.
So when it's decided, okay, we're going to do a panel or whatever that is, it's coming out of a fund we don't see. We don't really know what's happening, right? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm not being ignorant to something, but okay, very good. Thank you.
Any other discussion on this? Okay. Bob, you're...
Are you scared?
You're...
That face. What are you not saying, Bob?
You know, we, there's been a new manager at the parking garage the last 2 years and a new professional bookkeeper. And I think the parking garage, the budget I saw the other day, has been in the black the last 2 years, making more money than the
Jamie
revenue
does
coming
an exceptional
in.
Job.
Right. The answer to the question about how these projects are decided, you know, we do have a project through Fast Planning to encourage people to use the garage with new signage, new lighting, in coordination with the transit system. If somebody's waiting inside in a warm area, they put the button, then the bus knows that somebody's there. The project Jeremiah's working on, that comes from the people who are manning the parking garage, the manager who's there. Well, the door's broken, so can it get fixed? Well, if it's a maintenance item, Public Works can do it. If it's beyond Public Works' ability, then we would contract it out. So it is a coordination between the management of the parking garage and Public Works, because they're the building facility, right? The mm-hmm. building owner. You know, we do have a project coming up this year in coordination with the Morris Thompson Center. That's through Fast Planning, like I said. So depending on the funding source. Now, I don't know why it doesn't show up in the budget. I didn't understand what Marguerite was saying there about why the parking garage, you know, we should be putting money aside for maintenance, 1% of its value or something every year. I don't know. But I don't know why it doesn't show up in the budget.
Good. All right. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Bob. You just confused the crap out of us. Typical engineer, being the smartest man in the room. Okay, we're moving on. Finance Committee report. Margarita, want to bring us through this?
Margarita, will you add this to the list of things we want?
I'm sorry, Ms.
You're making a list of everything that we want to change in the budget. I'd like to add whether or not we're going to put any money aside for parking garage repairs.
Oh, okay. Will do.
Thank you.
Okay. Margarita, Finance Committee report.
The Finance Committee, you have the Finance Committee report before you. We met November the 21st is our last meeting for 2024. We've been looking at our nuisance property and abandoned building remediation program and kind of seeing if it's something that we can adopt in the Fairbanks area. And the way that program works is it helps to fund properties with blight or abandon. It's a very specific program that kind of addresses it in a different way. And the Finance Committee is looking at it from the standpoint of improving properties and therefore improving property tax revenues. And that's why we're looking at it. So we're just starting the exploration of that program and how it might fit in Fairbanks. The second thing is we did review the operating and capital budgets. There was a concern from council, from a committee member that our expenditures are out, I guess you can say, are increasing, not at the same level as our revenue, which are some things that we've discussed as a council as well. They also reviewed the capital fund and making the capital fund a multi-year fund. But in our review of that, it kind of led us to some parts of the general code itself, and then it led us to the section of the charter. And it's in the charter where it states that that it says that the fiscal year shall also constitute the budget and accounting year. So we felt that the capital fund cannot be a multi-year count. It has to continue with the process of an annual budget. We also, in looking at that, felt that internally we need to look at our projects as far as the department heads and before we submit a project for appropriation, that we'll really see if it's ready to go before we put it in the budget, to prevent the in and out, which was a concern of council members. in our review of section 5.1, it kind of led us to section 5.2, which we had a nice discussion about how the final budget adopted, not only by the mayor, but the council also has to have a balanced budget when it's adopted. They can amend it beyond the balanced budget, but the council and the mayor has to have an adopted budget. And we had some discussions about that as well. We also reviewed the following reports as of October the 31st. It was the general fund balance sheet at $18.9 million. We reviewed general revenues and expenditures report with revenues at $40.3 million, expenditures at $34.7 million, and we reviewed our cash flow report, which is $33 million. And we're scheduled to meet again on Thursday, January the 16th of 2025.
Questions for Margarita? Mr. Cleworth.
Margarita, on the final budget adopted by council shall be a balanced budget. So say at the last meeting we adopted the fireman's contract. What would have to ensue between that meeting and the next one as far as accommodating our charter?
Okay, if the council had adopted it with the premise of 16, then we would have been in violation of our charter, 5.2, because the council would have been adopting, putting the budget above, the budget would no longer have been a balanced budget, which is a requirement of the charter. And so that would have been, the mayor would have had to look at it or the council and say, you know, what can we do to reduce, to bring us back balanced budget? So it would have been.
It would have been a mess.
Yeah. Well, we would have had to make some decisions on what we wouldn't and wouldn't bring into the contract. I mean, into the budget.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I just want to point out, and I'm very, very happy to see it, that it's now that we're meeting in the Mike Meeks conference room. I think that's really special. I'm really, really happy about that. So it just made brought to my attention today. So I thank that we did that.
Overall, since the creation of the Finance Committee, I'm very thankful that Margarita put this together. It's very good for long-range financial planning. Mm-hmm. And having some exceptional members given an independent look. I purposely do not walk into that meeting. I'll bring you coffee, but I don't walk in because I want it unobstructed. I want the ideas coming out of it.
We're kind of freewheeling.
That's okay.
We are. It's great.
It's okay. Any other discussion on this? Seeing none. Our next work session is in January, and I'll be gone. So, Mr. Cleworth, you will be running the work session as the most senior member ever on the city council.
Am I the oldest one? I'm older than you.
And then we'll go to council member comments. Mr. Ringstad.
So I was pretty pleased that I didn't have a foot high berm at the end of my driveway when the streets were plowed the last 2 days.
Are you going to give some operators of graders a nice present? Yeah, there you go. Yeah. It's a six-pack of Diet Pepsi, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Mr. Marney.
Well, good meeting. They always are. If anybody's free tomorrow, they can come out and hand turkeys and boxes away with me across the street from 9 to 4.
Ms. Tidwell. Ms. Sprinkle.
I'm good.
Ms. Therrien.
Jerry and I decided I'm a little older than him.
He's the
She has five more months of wisdom than I do.
That should have been a really interesting discussion. Did you record it?
No, remember,
I want proof of life.
We don't record these meetings anymore. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, we do record them? Oh, darn it. Gotcha.
And they're not recorded, they're publicized.
Hey, Lonnie, how many turkeys do they hand out tomorrow?
We're going to feed 2,200 families.
That amazing?
And then there's a Lutheran church out in North Paul and Journeys also hands out.
You know, I think the goal is over 3,000 total.
Plus the food bank?
This is from the food bank.
Oh, from the food.
So you're the distributor.
You're the distributor. Okay.
And Public Works helps out too.
A real quick one in my report. Chief Dupuy, could you please come up here? How did the City of Fairbanks Police Force do with food collection versus the state troopers?
Well, I don't know. I went
to Costco specifically on the day that you guys were collecting.
Oh, good. Which day? Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
It was a Saturday.
Okay.
The parking lot was mayhem, but I still went in there and did that. How did we do?
22,000 some pounds.
Congratulations, food, sir. Thank you very much for the effort.
I feel a little.
And
I think between all of the agencies, we're over 100,000 pounds total collected for the food bank this year. So that was our goal, is to break that 100,000. So. Yep, and then I'm going to go over with Lonnie tomorrow and hand the turkeys out that we collected at Costco on Friday.
Awesome. So, yeah. Oh, that's cool. I love that.
Turkeys were at 99 cents a pound.
Yep. Wow.
Don't ask me how I remember that. Ms. Sprinkle, you had a...
No.
Okay. Also, yes.
I was just going to say, Chief, did you see today's paper?
I did not.
North Pole got all the publicity.
Yeah. Oh, they typically do. I know Chief Dutra out there is he's very heavily involved in it.
He probably gave him a donation.
Well, as a matter of fact, Chief Dutra and the North Pole mayor showed up on Friday to help us with our collection. So, they were handing out the flyers and...
good camaraderie between all parties. Good to hear.
Yep. No,
good really to hear. After this meeting, I'll be meeting with Yuri going over our legislative priorities list. He's going to want to make some changes, so we'll go over that on Monday's meeting with the resolution. And
Burrow, did you?
I meet him today.
Oh, today. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the last Tuesday of every month, the mayor will be on the radio with me. We're going to discuss our different things. So it works out well. And we're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.